they wanna see me fall, and I will never sell my soul. I'm on some shit that they ain't seen before. Dream chasing, catching all my goals.
So now we got Petey Buckets walking into the booth, literally. Play with me, you know it's all I want. And we are back. We are here with Petey Buckets, a.k.a. Pete, because he's not a four-year-old child. How you doing, Pete?
I'm good. What's up, man?
Not too bad. And so if you know anything about Petey Buckets, a.k.a. Pete, he's been writing for By George for the last season, breaking down a lot of our games, looking at a lot of the basketball analytics that a lot of people choose probably not to look at. Outside of like Ken Palm. But so what we're going to do right now, we're going to do a quick little rundown of the A-10, and we're going to get some insight on all these teams. I know I'm not up to date with a lot of these schools because there's a lot of turnover this year. So let's start from the top, and we'll go in alphabetical order, and you just give us a little snippet of, you know, what you see from this team this year, okay?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, let's start with Davidson. What do you see from this team?
So Davidson's interesting. Obviously, they lose Jack Gibbs. Jack Gibbs is a great player, one of the best in the A-10 over the past few years. But they still have Peyton Aldridge. Sorry, your dog's making a strange noise.
Right. I'm not sure what he's doing, but yeah. Keep going. Yeah, Peyton Aldridge is a beast last year.
Yeah, Peyton Aldridge averaged 28-8 per game last year. He shot close to 40% from three. He's obviously a tremendous player. I also like John Axel Gunmanson a lot more than I think everybody else does. I ranked him 18th in the A-10 top 25. Ranking for A-10 talk. No one else even had him in the top 25, which I thought was surprising. It's not exactly where I was trying to plant the flag, but you know, he's a very good shooter. He had 3.5 assists per game. He's one of the only guys in the A-10 who had that many assists and also had an assist to turnover ratio better than two. Kellen Grady, I think, is a really nice recruit for them. He's a long, lanky guard type. I think he's about 6'5". So I don't know if I love their talent level, but I think they're a little bit more senior. They return most of their minutes outside of Jack Gibbs, obviously. And obviously, McKillop's a good coach. So I could see them finishing higher, probably top three or top four, best case scenario.
Yeah, I'm seeing like a lot of hype about them. Some people are, at least in a lot of these like projections and the bracketology and stuff, they have them maybe as like a bubble team potentially. Is that sort of in line with what you're thinking or their...
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a best case scenario for them. And I also think it's a little bit of kind of a default ranking because the A-10, everybody in the A-10 has so many question marks this year. But, you know, if things turn for them, if guys like John Axel Gunmanson, if their recruits turn out nice, I can certainly see him doing that.
And I think that sort of segues into another team, the next team that we're going to cover, Dayton. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the turnover with the coach, they have Anthony Grant now. They obviously have Giannis's younger brother there. What do you expect from Dayton? Will they continue to be the dominant team that they've been for the last few years?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you can expect them to be, you know, nearly as dominant as they were the last two seasons. That said, they've obviously got a crazy amount of talent. They're one of those reload instead of rebuild kind of teams. Zarius Williams, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's 6'8". He shot 40% from three and grabbed almost 5 rebounds a game last year. And he's doing that, you know, obviously playing behind Charles Cook, Scoochie Smith, Kendall Pollard. Wow. He was in more of a secondary role. So I'm curious to see what he can do when because he's gonna be the guy this year. And he's also in that mold. Again, he's 6'8". He shoots threes and he can bang the boards. He's in that mold of like a Peyton Aldridge, a Tyler Kavanaugh, those guys who do do really well because there just aren't a lot of guys who can guard fours who have that kind of game in the A-10.
Dayton's kind of notorious always for having height, right?
Oh, and
so,
for sure.
Like you even factor in Giannis's little brother. I'm not sure his name specifically, but you know, are they going to still be big and causing fits for the A-10? And do they pose like a serious matchup for like Power Five schools because they are, you know, still like a very big squad? And I'm not sure even, you know, with Anthony Grant coming in, you know, what does that do as well to that team?
Yeah, so the talent level is definitely there. Between Williams, Cunningham, Giannis's little brother, they're, you know, the talent level to compete with P5 schools, I think for sure they have it. The question marks are just, you know, outside of those three guys, who's going to step up for them? How well does Anthony Grant do coming in and replacing Archie Miller? I really think Archie Miller's been one of the best coaches in the country over the past few years. So filling his shoes isn't going to be easy to do.
I mean, it says something when Indiana gets you. I mean, right. that's like kind of like right. one of
and
the...
And there's a reason he was such a hot coaching commodity. And I think that Dayton last year was really, really good. And who'd they draw in the tournament? I think they drew Wichita State or something.
Yeah, it was really unlucky.
Wichita State was a 10 seed, which was just crazy. Dayton was definitely good enough to be a Sweet 16 team last year.
Right.
And they just kind of got boned by the matchup.
And then even outside of that, I just want to touch on the player that had the heart attack. Who was that guy? He was massive. Oh. He was like a 6'11 guy, you know, huge yeah. freshman. And then, like, that's just an unfortunate loss for that team.
Right.
But either way, do you see them as... a tournament team, if so, or a bubble team, like what caliber, you know?
You know, I would say they probably finished just a little bit short of the tournament. I mm-hmm. think somebody like, you know, Giannis's little brother, I think he'll be crazy fun to watch this year. But, you know, if he was anything like Giannis as a player, he probably, you know, would be going somewhere other than Dayton.
Yeah, that one was a little bit of a head scratcher.
Right,
guess,
and that's not to sell him short. I'm sure he's a fine player, but I mean, I think that some people are expecting him to be little Giannis, and I don't know if that's realistic.
All right. So, but they'll be a top tier team essentially at the end of the season.
It's pretty easy to see them in the top five again. Yeah.
All right. Well, and a team that we're not going to see in the top five is Duquesne.
We don't have to
talk about them that much because there's not much to talk about, but are they going to be as bad as they always are?
Yes. yes, they are. I feel bad for Mike Lewis. Mike Lewis can play, man. He had a great freshman year. But Duquesne is, they're tanking for draft position this year. They lost, two of their guys who contributed last year, Isaiah Mike and Josh Steele. I think Isaiah Mike transferred. Josh Steele, I don't know what's going on there. He's just not listed on the roster anymore.
Welcome to Duquesne.
So, yeah, right. I don't know what's going on at
that
program.
So would you pretty much, it's pretty easy to write them in for last place.
You can start, if you're making your rankings from top to bottom, or from bottom to top, you write in Duquesne first at number 14.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings me to the next team, Fordham. Is mm-hmm. it pretty much... you can mark them in right behind Duquesne or in front, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, when I'm doing these rankings, I'm trying not to just, you know, go in the same order that, you know, the A10 coaches poll had, but
yeah.
it's, you know, it's tough to avoid putting Fordham and Duquesne at the bottom. Fordham has a little bit of talent in, Chartouni. I don't hate their coach, Neubauer. I think he's interesting. His style's enjoyable because they play that insane sort of half court trap and press scheme.
And if you watch the A10 tournament last year, they threw fits to Mason. I mean, mm-hmm. it took sort of a lucky last minute. You know, Jenkins pretty much had a last second layup to beat them.
Scored like 7 points in the last 30 something seconds.
Right.
Of the
and
game,
so they're not like terrible. And I'm not sure the player was it Snell or someone just got hot in the second half. They also have like, you know, a big white dude. I'm not sure.
So Sengfelder actually transferred. He's not with them this year. So,
okay. Well,
yeah. Fordham loses some talent. They one interesting thing I think about the scheme that they play is that they were second in the NCAA in opponent turnover percentage last season.
Huh.
So they generate a ton of turnovers. Only West Virginia was better. But then they were 318th in the NCAA in opponent true shooting percentage. So their scheme is kind of like if you get a shot on them, it's going in because
yeah.
the players are out of position all over the place. And they're generally just going to try to turn you over. And if they don't, then they're going to live with it.
That's pretty wacky. And that's only a stat that Pete would have. and now that brings us, do we want to cover Mason? Anybody? Yeah, let's cover Mason. So mm-hmm. what's sort of your outlook with Mason? Do you still see them as a middle of the road A10 team like many do?
Yeah, so I think Mason's super tough to project. Like, even we don't even know who our starters are right now, right? We don't have a good idea of what our rotation is going to be. We don't know who's going to stand out. We're going to be relying on a bunch of first year players outside of, you know, Otis, Kyer, and Jair. Those are definitely locked into our starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else on the roster has, you know, probably a decent chance to actually end up in the starting lineup at some point.
Right.
So, I think that makes Mason tough to project. Another thing that makes Mason tough to project is that we were 153rd in offensive rating last year, and 158th in defensive rating in the entire NCAA. So we're like smack in the middle last year. So there's plenty of room to go in either direction.
Do you see though with the you know, with Marquise leaving and so what he gave our team was sort of like a, you know, kind of like a slasher. He can get to the bucket, drew like a ton of fouls. Same with Jenkins. He was great inside, very efficient. But what they both lacked was obviously any sort of deep threat. Do you see like an increase or an uptick maybe in 3-point shooting this year? Are we going to see, obviously Grayer's going to sort of take some of those shots that Marquise was taking. So we might see maybe more threes being shot. Like what do you see maybe with the loss of our two seniors? How does that benefit our team negatively, maybe positively?
Yeah. So one thing that, didn't happen last year was we couldn't play matchups on defense at all.
Right.
So, we got absolutely murdered by guys like, Peyton Aldridge, Tyler Cavanaugh, those sort of stretch four types. Yeah. Tillman, you know, VCU played bully ball against us three games, last year, and there's really nothing we could do about it. Rhode Island beat the crap out of us in the first half just because they were so much bigger. We ended up coming back in that game and almost pulling it out. But defensively, it was, you know, it really hurt us last year that the second tallest player on the court was always 6'4". You know, that's not optimal.
Yeah.
And that was just totally due to circumstance. That's not going to be the case this year. We're going to be able to throw out small lineups, you know, when we're going to be able to deploy them strategically. And there will be times when it's Boyd or Jair playing the four and, you know, either AJ Wilson or Klitz or Relvau or whoever playing the five. But then we're also going to be able to have a much bigger lineup where we've got AJ at the four or Mar at the four, and then one of the big guys at the five.
I see us having a true four this year is winning us a few more games. I think a GW necessarily wasn't, you know, and they're a good team, but, you know, that was a rookie coach. I think that they were beatable, but I just think the matchup game didn't favor us.
Yep.
But I think you have an AJ covering a Watanabe, and maybe Watanabe doesn't just go off on us.
Right.
Like, you have an appropriate guy covering him. So I think that nets Mason a few of the wins that may be subtracted by the loss of Marquise and Jenkins. So I do see us kind of being sort of a similar team to last year. But that sort of segues us into GW. They obviously lost a lot with Kavanaugh. They also had a transfer. What was his name?
I think Roland transferred out.
And then the white kid.
Steves?
Yes.
Patrick Steves?
Yeah, he's
out.
Did
he graduate or did he transfer?
Or maybe, I don't know. But either way, but they still have Watanabe, senior. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's been there for 8 years. where do you see them? Are they a legitimate threat or do you see them essentially just being a Mason-type team?
I think they're middle of the pack. I think a lot of people are projecting them in the basement this year. I don't know if I totally see that. Watanabe is one of those really interesting players where when you watch him play, you feel like he should probably be a little bit better than he is. And I don't know if that's, you know, a totally fair criticism, but he's just got a lot of NBA qualities, sort of his size, the way he moves, the way he can handle and the way he can shoot. He hasn't totally put it all together yet though, on the offensive side. He's a destructive defensive force when he wants to be. But I could see GW being a little bit surprising this season. Bolden and Toro were two of their freshmen last year. They had pretty solid seasons. Jaren Cena is a solid rotation contributor for them. Yuta Watanabe could make a leap. I think it's within his range of outcomes that he could, you know, this could be the year for him. I don't know if
finish first team potentially.
Yes.
All
A-10. He's definitely got the talent. And again, it's, can he be one of those guys who scores and becomes a reliable offensive force game in and game out. But, GW, I think has probably a little bit more talent than people seem to be projecting.
Well, one thing that I noticed, and this isn't, I'm not looking at any statistics, but this is just simply an eye test based off of a tweet, but they had their Mason Madness or, you know, their Midnight Madness version, and they had like a little bit of like a dunk contest. They had some athletic looking guys, you know, doing some dunk, like they looked legitimate, like, you know, they weren't small, they could jump, it wasn't a matter of, you know, I don't know. I from just what I saw, they just looked like big boys that could jump. And I was like, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah. And I kind of like their coach Mojo too. I thought one of the things that stood out for me from, the times that Mason played GW is that, Mojo kind of attacked our weaknesses pretty relentlessly. Yep. You know, GW had big size mismatches, and I think there were teams, that didn't totally exploit those last year. Like if you look at our road win against Davidson, I think was kind of a good example of a team that was much bigger than we were but couldn't really take advantage of it. But in the two GW games, they just kept getting Yuta or Kavanaugh mismatched on a guy much smaller. And as a result, they combined for like 80 points in those two games or something ridiculous like that.
Well, now what about a team that is rarely on the radar, but you know they're obviously always sort of a middle of the pack team. LaSalle, I know that they have some. Who's the one main player there?
BJ Johnson.
Yeah. What do you see from them? We always tend to match up against them pretty well. I don't know the last time that we lost to them. Was it?
I don't know.
I think we beat them every time we've played them in the A-10.
I think did we play them once or twice last year?
I think once.
I think it was only once. And I think we had 50-something points at the half. LaSalle was horribly disorganized defensively. they're 315th in the country at defensive rating. So they're giving up over almost 109 points per 100 possessions.
Wow.
I think one of the, you know, I did the GIF articles last year, and one of my favorite GIFs is there's just this wide open put back dunk that Jair has where nobody boxes him out on the weak side. I don't know.
Does that speak to coaching? I mean, are you?
I mean, I think a little bit. You know, I don't know. I think that LaSalle was pretty transfer heavy last year, so it might be a case of, you know, everybody needs to play with each other and get comfortable with each other. And, you know, maybe they make strides, but BJ Johnson's a legit player of the year candidate. Pookie Powell's also had a really good season. I, came out of, the A-10 top 25 rankings with, more appreciation for Pookie Powell than I had originally. Cause at first I thought he was a goofy name, but, he was actually pretty good as well. You know, the talent's there, but they have some work to do on defense before anybody's going to take them seriously.
Right. And I think that they have some legit stars. Maybe it comes down to depth or coaching, but there's always some flaw with LaSalle where they never feel like, they're unbeatable or really a feared opponent. But let's move to an opponent that we rarely fear, but that many do, Richmond. Yeah. They're sort of our beat up, punching bag, essentially, so to speak. They were good last year. TJ Klein, player of the year. They have Buckingham, who was he?
Demonte Buckingham's really good.
Yeah, he's silly. Do you see them repeating their success this year? Are they still a top five-ish type team? So, can we still beat them?
Yeah. So Richmond's one of those teams that makes it really tough to predict the A-10 just because there are so many question marks. They lose TJ Klein. You know, I think we picked on TJ Klein a little bit because we wanted to bring him down because, you know, we thought Marquise should have been player of the year. But, you know, Klein was fantastic.
Klein was great. I mean,
when they played Mason at home, they came to Mason and played us here at the Patriot Center. I remember just being terrified every time Klein had the ball in his hands. He was he was a very gifted offensive player. But last year they ran, what they did was they surrounded Klein with four guards you could shoot. So their entire offense ran through TJ Klein. He had like 18 points and 6 assists or something per game. He had a crazy high usage rating. They're one of those teams that they're going to look totally different. We don't know exactly how they're going to run their offense, and we don't exactly know, you know, what their rotation's going to look like.
Who was shutting down Buckingham last year? Because I don't ever really remember him going off against us.
Yeah, I think it. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head.
We kept him quiet. I mean, we kept the whole team quiet, but
my guess might have been that Jair appreciated the chance to guard somebody his own size.
Right, right. but we had Keese at times covering TJ, right? Or at least he would.
Well, yeah.
Well, Keese, at least for that one.
Keese
famous,
had that
like,
block on TJ. Yeah. Yeah, because TJ couldn't jump over the Sunday paper.
Right.
But yeah.
But I think that maybe that will help them, you know, losing a TJ Klein. Maybe they get a little bit more, I don't know, athletic or something, but maybe they improve defensively. But they really didn't, at least when I watched them live at the A-10 tournament, you know, outside of Klein and Buckingham and a few other guys, there wasn't much there. And I never really felt like their coach ever really made it. Like,
Chris
I'm not
Mooney.
A big fan.
Neither do the Richmond fans.
Right.
So, yeah.
I feel like he's always on a hot seat. Like, he stays on a hot seat, even when they're doing, like, kind of well. But there's something about, I don't know. But I did watch, like, an impressive win in Pittsburgh. Like, they clearly are winning games, but I don't know if they ever really are threatening to me or at least Mason Nation, but
yeah. And they've got a Quan Four, one of their really good guards. He's going to miss the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season. I think he,
ouch.
I think he got a stress fracture in his tibia or something like that.
That's
so,
bad.
Yeah, so that's going to hurt him. They've got a freshman who all the projections, it seems like, Jacob Gilliard, he's a pretty good freshman, but he's probably going to take a lot of those minutes. It might hurt him in the out-of-conference schedule because they're starting, they're relying on a freshman, but it might be one of those things that helps him down the road.
Yeah.
Because
it always
could,
does.
You know, could help, help bleed him for the A-10 schedule.
Yep. And then to just segue into, I'm not really going to segue from anything. I'm just going to bring up Rhode Island. Rhode Island is good.
Right.
Matthews feels like he's been there for 8 years. Mm-hmm. They just have a squad. And in fact, when we were voting on for the A-10 talk top 25 players, I'm very high on Jeff Downton.
Yeah.
I think he's he was a freshman last year. He didn't play like a freshman. I just think that they have all the talent in the world. I think that they have some great coaching. I think eventually it's Hurley, right?
Hurley.
Yeah. He'll be plucked by a Power Five school. But I think this is the year that they could make, you know, some noise in the actual tournament.
They, not to bring up bad memories for URI fans, but they were pretty close to beating Oregon last year, in the tournament, weren't they? And,
yes,
Oregon,
very.
I think Oregon pulled away at the end and ended up, the final score, I think, wasn't, indicative of how close the game actually was.
It was very close. I remember watching that
was
game.
It? Yeah.
Because I picked, I think, Rhode Island, I think, to make the Sweet 16.
The Sweet 16, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's totally obvious that Rhode Island returns the most talent top to bottom in the A-10. I think either Jeff Doughton or Stan Robinson is their fourth best returning player, depending on who you think is better.
And they have Iverson coming back?
No, Iverson graduated.
Okay.
They got EC Matthews, Jared Terrell, who's really good, Stan Robinson, and Jeff Doughton coming back. So the interesting thing about them to me is that they lose their whole front court, Hassan Martin and Karan Iverson.
Hassan Martin was big.
Hassan Martin was big. Iverson was gigantic. I think he was listed at like 6'9", 240 or something.
Yep.
And I remember just seeing him in person and thinking that dude's massive.
Right.
But they were 40th in defensive rating last year. And I think that losing their front court really hurts them there. Martin and Iverson combined for, I think, close to 14 rebounds and 4 blocks per game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when you have those guys who can play eraser behind your backcourt, it frees up your guards to really press and defend pretty aggressively out on the perimeter. So I don't know exactly what their front court looks like this year, and I think that's sort of the most interesting question. We know that their guards are going to be able to score a ton of points. We know that they're going to defend well. What I'm wondering about with them is who steps into that role. Does somebody step into that role, or did they look different? Cyril Langevin, I think, had about 4.5 rebounds a game. Honestly, he doesn't need to do a whole lot more than that. He needs to do more than 4.5 rebounds a game, but He was only getting 13 minutes. So if he continues on that sort of pace and gets more minutes, really they're just going to need rebounding and solid defense out of that position to be really, really good.
One thing I noticed when I watched them live at the A-10 tournament versus VCU, it almost seemed like it was like a professional team versus a college team. It was just... The skill level was just not even comparable. And it was a relatively easy win for Rhode Island there. But their size and their ability to shoot and defend, they are, you know, obviously one of the more well-rounded teams in the A-10. But that leads us to St. Joseph's. The year before, they had won the A-10 tournament. You know, obviously off of Bembry and who's the other guy? Isaiah Miles, that was a squad, but so they're obviously a completely different team. Obviously a down year last year. I mean, they were horrific. Are they back? I'm seeing some articles written where they could be a top tier A-10 team, but I know that they did have an injury lately or recently.
Yeah, I think that you know, I don't totally know what to make of St. Joe's. They were a really bad offensive team last year. One stat that I like to look at is points per shot. Mm-hmm. It's a shortcut that basically gets you to the same place as true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage. But you know, it's easier to understand basically how many points does a guy score for every shot that he uses.
Yeah.
And their guys had some pretty bad numbers. I think Lamar Kimball is a guy that I'm lower on than some of the other A-10 writers. He averaged 15.5 points a game, but he was taking almost 15 shots a game to get there. So he's not an efficient scorer.
Right.
You know, Charlie Brown was a freshman last year, so he'll probably get better. But he had 12.8 points per game last year, but he was taking 11 shots. The thing is that Shavar Newkirk comes back, and Shavar Newkirk was absolutely balling through 12 games last year before he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. He was averaging 20 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and a steal on top of that. One of those guys that just absolutely fills up the box score. But he tore his ACL, and he's coming back off an ACL tear.
Never
so
know how that
you never know
if
he's going to be exactly the same guy right off the bat. So I don't totally understand the enthusiasm around St. Joe's. I think Shavar Newkirk's great. He's probably on my A-10 preseason first team. Mm. But other than that, I'm not as enthusiastic about the rest of their roster.
So you could see them as a middle-of-the-road team, but just under like a Mason, a GW, all those.
I'd probably have them around fifth, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Now, one team that's been pretty much garbage for, what, two seasons now, but throwing fits towards us, St. Louis. I know that they have some highly recruited players coming in. Coaching-wise, I think they've made some strides. Are they back? Like, is St. Louis back to being a perennial A-10 powerhouse this year?
Can I give you a hot take for a second?
Yes.
Imagine if Paul Hewitt had never had any success in the tournament, and then you've got Travis Ford.
Okay.
He's a guy who brings in a ton of talent, did the same thing at Oklahoma State, and just can never seem to really turn it into anything. Mm. I don't totally know where I fall on St. Louis. I think that the talent they're bringing in is really legitimate.
I think they have the number one recruit for the entire A-10 in terms of like stars and all that.
61st in the country, I think. I forget his name right now, but they've got another top 150 recruit on top of that. And in addition, they've got Adonis Hernandez, a transfer from Central Florida, plus a Michigan State transfer.
Really?
So, yeah.
Maybe I missed that one.
So they've got a lot of very legitimate talent coming in. But
the question would be, can they put it all together? Wow.
Yeah, the question is, you know, is their coaching staff going to be able to handle it? And that's where I get a little bit more skeptical. But, DeVell Roby is a really, really good player. He's another guy. Appreciated him more after we started digging in for the A-10 preseason top 25 ranks. He actually compares statistically to Jared Terrell. I sent out a tweet a little while ago with a sort of player A, player B comparison. Mm-hmm. They're very similar players. You know, Roby's legit. And then they had Jalen Johnson, who was a freshman last year. He gave Mason fits because he's a lanky guard. used his length on both ends. He could shoot over, he could shoot over some of our shorter perimeter players.
Right.
And he's also the kind of guy who uses his length pretty well to harass. So, again, the talent's legitimate. Whether or not the coaching staff can do anything with it, I think, is the question.
So maybe like a top seven.
Top eight or nine. I think they're just going to have too much talent, I think, to remain in the basement. But I don't know if they're going to, you know, realize the talent.
Right. And at least one of my favorite teams, at least for the past few years now, and at least one of my favorite players resides on this team, St. Bonaventure.
Yep.
Jalen Adams is widely considered one of the best guards in the entire nation.
I saw somebody, one national writer just wrote that he was the best point guard in the country.
I mean, I love him. Yeah. I really wish Mason had this guy. I'm skeptical to think that they have all the right pieces to really be like an NCAA tournament powerhouse, but I do think that they have enough to be a top three team in the A-10. So what's your take on St. Bonaventure?
So Jalen Adams, I think, would have been player of the year in most conferences last year, but TJ Klein, I think, had that. He averaged 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists per game, which is just a ridiculous stat line. So Jalen Adams, I think, is great. I think Matt Mobley's great, and I think that Matt Mobley doesn't get the credit that he deserves because people see him as playing second fiddle to Jalen Adams. I actually had them both in my A-10 top five. I had Adams first and Mobley fifth. They're a really good scoring team, and they're going to be again. They were middling defensively last year. One thing that stood out to me was that they struggled to get stops against quality opponents. Jalen Adams, if you watch him, he's really fun to watch on both sides of the ball, but on defense, he plays this sort of free safety kind of center fielder role. When his the man he's guarding is on the weak side, he plays way off the ball so he can jump passing lanes. He's got a pretty gaudy steal total as a result. I don't know if that works sort of when the game slows down, when the opponents are better, come tournament time. So to me, it'll be interesting to see if they get better defensively. If they can generate stops, they've got, just all sorts of question marks in their front court. Josh Ayeni was a freshman big last year. He averaged about 6 points a game.
It's not bad.
Yeah. He doesn't rebound to his size yet. So he's 6'8", 220. And he had an 8% total rebound percentage. To put that in perspective, Jair rebounds better than he does at this point. So I think the question is who emerges from Bonaventure's front court, and that's kind of going to determine their ceiling and how good they're really going to be, because they've got a guard tandem that's one of the best in the country.
Right. And so will this be a case this year where they barely miss out on the tournament, or do you for sure sort of put them in or do you have them at least as a lock in the top 2 or 3 in the A-10?
Yeah.
Are they good enough to make the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I would be pretty confident. I have them top 2 in the A-10. I'd be pretty confident that they're going to finish top 3 at worst. I would project them into the NCAA tournament at this point.
Okay. And then what about UMass?
What about them?
I know. They recently just took a player from us, recruiting-wise. But is Jeff Kellogg still there?
Derek Kellogg.
Derek Kellogg, sorry.
No, they got rid of him.
They got rid of him. Okay, so
yeah,
they had some recruits though from the previous year that were highly, you know, touted. You know, where is UMass in all this? Is it kind of like an up and down year? Do they have some transfers?
So I don't totally know what they have coming in talent wise. But they were almost like a mirror image of LaSalle. They're a great defensive team that was really bad offensively. I think that the style that Kellogg played made absolutely no sense for
the
people that they had on the team. Yeah. So UMass last year took a ton of threes, and I didn't think that they featured Holloway enough. Holloway's a really skilled back-to-the-basket big.
He's big too, by the way. Like big.
He's like another gigantic
300
guy.
300 pounds.
Yeah. But he's got the skill to go with it.
No, he's good.
Though.
He's legit.
But yeah, so last year over 40% of their shots were threes. So that's around 70th in the country. Their best 3-point shooter shot 36%. That was CJ Anderson. And then they didn't have anyone else shooting even 32%. So I understand that, you know,
they just chuck him up.
Yeah, so there's this analytics movement that threes and layups are the only shots worth taking, but I felt like the way, sort of the style that they played last year made absolutely no sense because they took a ton of threes, but they weren't good at hitting them. Their defensive rating was really good. They gave up less than 100 points per 100 possessions. So I think that there's definitely a lot of talent there. One thing that hurts him is that Holloway is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, he broke his thumb.
Wow. It's kind of big.
But, you know, I think the talent's there. C.J. Anderson can play. Holloway can play. Luane Pipkins was a little bit of a volume guy last year. Wasn't in my 10 top 25, but he's definitely part of the reason that they had such a good defense. So UMass is just kind of a shrug your shoulders kind of team. It depends on.
And with the new coach, I
it depends
think
on the new coach. It depends on what safe style they want to play. Yeah.
You would put them in the 9-10 range.
Yeah, a lot of people have them lower than that, and I mean, honestly, I don't know if I have a strong opinion on where exactly they're going to wind
well,
up.
Here's one team that we should have a strong opinion on, and I'm actually not high on at all, mm-hmm. Is VCU.
Yep.
I didn't really like them even last year. This is a team
I've never liked them.
Right. Yeah. And it's not because of VCU, you know, but this is a team that played an exhibition game last night against Liberty and lost by double digits. And that's not to say that they're going to be bad this year, but Mike Rhodes, I think a lot of people would say that, like, yes, that was a great coaching hire. Is the talent there, though? And they have still some highly coveted recruits. Deronte Reddick
Jenkins.
But they lost Mo Alie-Cox. They still have Tillman. What are we getting with VCU, and are they beatable, and will Mason beat them this year? Because
yeah,
we
so,
lost three times last year.
Yeah, right. I freaking hope Mason can beat him this year. But yeah, I'm glad you said that because I kind of feel the same way. I think VCU is getting a total benefit of the doubt kind of ranking. Mm-hmm. I think they were fourth in the A-10 preseason poll. And it's not that they don't deserve. I mean, they deserve the benefit of the doubt at this point. They're an incredibly strong program. They've got a ton of talent. But they only return about 75 minutes per game. I think they've got Tillman and Williams were both around 24, 25 minutes per game. And then they had three guys who played sparingly last year. Deriante Jenkins, Malik Crowfield, and Frazier. I forget what his first name is. Those three combined for 25 minutes per game. Everyone else that they're going to rely on is a first-year player. So yeah. VCU is another team.
Or they are getting a highly coveted transfer from, do you know this? Can you help me with that one?
Is he eligible this year?
No, never mind. But they also did lose their big man to TCU.
They've lost a couple of people. So they lost some talent. I mean,
Asan, something like that.
Asan, I think his name was.
Yeah. Middle Eastern name, I forget it. But he was actually kind of a no factor. I didn't even like his
name. Oh, Hamdi?
Hamdi, yes.
Hamdi Mohammed?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sucked.
I didn't like it.
I mean, the good thing for VCU is that he was their third best big, and I think anybody would take a guy like that as your third best big because, you know, it means your other two bigs got to be pretty good.
But he got picked up by a Big 12 team.
Yeah.
Like, what?
He's an extra body. He's right. Going to play a year. He's experienced. I don't think they're expecting much more than that from him. But VCU is another guy. They're getting another team. They're getting the benefit of the doubt kind of because it's such an open year at the A-10. Every team has so many question marks. People just don't really know who else to put at the top of the conference, I think.
Do you ever feel like that people just assume that VCU will just continue with this coaching? You know,
yes.
whether it went from who was the first one that ended up at Jeff Capel.
Oh, we could start from,
Capel. Yeah, we could start from there to Grant to Shaka to Will Wade. I mean, it's always they're reloading with the best coach, and yes, Rhodes is a nice hire, but there's going to be a dud sometime, and you just kind of are waiting for.
And I hope very dearly that it's Mike Rhodes because it's about time for us. It feels like. I don't know. I think Mike Rhodes is coaching at Rice recently. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch a ton of him there. I don't know exactly how he's going to play. I know he said all the right things about playing VCU's Havoc style and trapping and pressing, that they want to do that. I don't know.
Do you have any numbers behind what Havoc did last year? Because it feels as if it's become a little bit more watered down since Shaka. Will Wade's version is less effective. I think
what the way that it helped with Will Wade last year was with the reduced shot clock. I think it was either last year or the year before, the shot clock went to 30 seconds instead of 35 seconds. And I think that made that sort of that token pressure, it made it a lot more effective because teams are getting into their sets later. And I think Paulson said it bothered Mason last year. That they weren't getting into their sets until there were 18 seconds, 15 seconds left on the shot clock because they had to break the pressure and then get the ball at the top of the key. I don't know if they've used it to generate. They're still toward the top of the country in terms of generating turnovers. I don't know if it's the full court press that does that. I think they deployed a lot of half court traps last year.
Yep.
And those could be really effective because VCU had good length. But they're another team where there's just so much that we don't know about VCU.
Yeah.
They were able to play that aggressive style similar to URI. They had an eraser, back, protecting the rim for him, and Mo Ali Cox, he's not there anymore. Justin Tillman has, averaged, I think, half a blocked shot per game. So he's not the same caliber shot blocker. So, are they going to be
able with Mo Ali Cox? He never even provided that great a length. Like, he was a 6'6", 6'7" guy.
Well, he's playing tight end for the Colts right now.
Right. Yeah, but do they have a big man outside of Tillman right now that could provide them any meaningful minutes?
I mean, I don't think so. Definitely not to the extent.
So they're going to rely on Tillman.
I think they're going to rely on Tillman. Tillman's going to be a featured player for him.
He'll put up some points and most likely.
Yeah, Tillman's a good scorer, a good rebounder. If there's a knock on Tillman's game, it's that he doesn't contribute a whole lot to the box score outside of points and rebounds. Not that, you don't want him to be a points and rebounds guy, but he doesn't block shots. So that's going to be an element of that's going to be a defensive element that I think VCU is used to having that they're just not going to have there this year.
All right. Well, and then just one final question in terms of let's just go big picture. Who do you see making the tournament out of the A-10? Obviously a Rhode Island, maybe a St. Bonaventure. Yeah. Do you see Davidson or Dayton making it? How many teams make it?
I would say Rhode Island and Bonaventure. I think that if I was going to project a third team, it would probably be Davidson. It seems like, again, given all the talent that they return, the players that they return, they got really legitimate talent, I think, with Peyton Aldridge and Gunmanson. They've got a lot of other guys who've been in McKillop's system for a long time and will do what he wants them to. So I think that they could potentially ride that to a bid. I'm a little bit on the fence as to whether they'll make it, but, it certainly wouldn't surprise me.
Do you have a quick, all A-10 first team and player of the year? Do you have that written down?
Written down. I can go off the top of my head. Your player of the year is probably Jalen Adams.
Yeah.
First team is probably rounded out by Peyton Aldridge, BJ Johnson, Shavar Newkirk, and then who am I missing? Probably Tillman's probably on there. I feel like there is one other one that I'm forgetting to mention, but.
Sometimes it reflects the team itself. I think Marquise Moore was kind of shafted because our team sort of faded later on in the year. Mm-hmm. But he at least should have finished first team. But do you see at least maybe Otis Grayer appearing in the second or third all A-10 team?
Yeah, I think Otis can get to second team pretty easily. It depends on how much the offense runs through him. If Otis gets to that sort of 18 points per game, 19 points per game tier, those guys, I don't expect it to happen, but it could happen because one of the big questions for Mason this year is where is the scoring going to come from?
I think the Sports Illustrated article that we posted with the top 100 scores, I think a lot of people are seeing those points left from Keese and Jenkins are going to be picked up by those two. I just don't see any big creating, any sort of substantial points. So, all right. Well, did you have any other last notes that you want to leave on the A-10?
What's that?
Plug your Twitter.
Plug my Twitter.
Yeah, plug it.
Follow me on Twitter @PDBuckets. All one word.
At Petey Buckets. And so if you want any of the breakdowns, you know, after a game, you know, go to Petey Buckets. He's going to have all the numbers that you're looking for. Thanks a lot for coming out, man. That was a great breakdown. That was so in-depth. I'm sure a lot of, like, the A10 nerds out there are loving this information. I know I learned a lot. And I don't know. I'm optimistic. So
I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Well, that's the end of our Petey Buckets segment. And that's it, right? We're done. All right. So
cool.
See us next week.